meantime, there are other things going on. A blockbuster deal in Major League Baseball. In fact, a few trades, and there are moving parts, and they're getting bigger and bigger. We are joined right now by an MLB Network insider, MLB.com columnist, friend of the program, Beanpot hockey enthusiast as well. He is here to break things down. He is John Morosi. John, good to have you back. How are you?
Jim, thanks so much, sir, for that intro. Yes, so the Bean Pot, the first two Mondays in February, great college hockey tournament in the wonderful city of Boston. Loved it as a college student, and a great dramatic OT win there for the Terriers at Boston University on Monday night.
No doubt. Good stuff. All right, John, let me start with the possibility of Mookie Betts being moved. That had been out there for quite some time. It's all but done right now. So what was your reaction when you heard the news that he would be going to L.A. along with David Price?
Well, Jim, two things. Number one, the Red Sox are clearly in a bit of a retooling stage. Maybe not a full rebuild, but they are confronting the very real circumstances of their club right now, which are that they are simply not as good as the Yankees. And with Chaim Bloom coming in as the new general manager, he had, I believe, Jim, the latitude to make a very objective evaluation of this roster and conclude that, frankly, they were not going to be able to compete with the Yankees as constructed in 2020. And he also concluded that they were not going to be able to sign Mookie long-term based on where the discussions were and where the negotiations have been over the last couple of years. So simply he made what is a pretty objective decision to just make the best deal that he could. And if you're going to take issue with it, I think it's more with the moves leading up to this, really under the previous regime, the signings of Eovaldi, the signings of Sale, that really ate up a lot of the payroll and prevented the Red Sox from being able to offer the kind of money that Mookie was going to demand. So that's the Boston side of things. It's not so much the issue with this deal itself, it's really the overall context leading up to it. On the Dodgers side, Jim, this is something that for a franchise that has come oh so close so many times since 2013, they now have what I think is one of the best five players in the game, and also a really great way to begin the season. It's been certainly off-season wise for them. There's been a lot of talk about the Astros and the Red Sox and the sign stealing. They're the two teams they lost the World Series to. And they also have to deal with the fact that they let Game 5 get away at home against the Nationals in the first round of the playoffs back in October. But with Mookie Betts and David Price arriving to Glendale, Arizona for spring training, it's a different conversation, and it really, I believe, gives a different belief to that clubhouse that, listen, this is going to be a different story in October 2020 because we have one of the best five players in the game and a co-MVP candidate alongside Cody Bellinger now in that Dodger outfield.
John Morosi is joining us. I get what you're saying, John. Let me go back to the Red Sox for a minute. I mean, they get Alex Verdugo and they get Brusdar Gratterall in return for Betts and Price. When you're getting ready for spring training, how tough a pill is that for the fans that Betts is gone and the guys they got in return are good, but they're not the best prospect the Dodgers have?
Well, it's very tough. It's tough because, and there's maybe been that comparison to go back to the Red Sox-Dodgers deal of 2012 when Adrian Gonzalez and Carl Crawford went to the Dodgers. But this is different because Mookie Betts won an MVP with the Red Sox. He won a World Series with the Red Sox. David Price easily could have been the MVP of that World Series. And then he was able to obviously help the Red Sox win the championship in 2018. So it's a fundamentally different conversation about what those two players, especially Betts, had meant to that franchise. And you're right, for fans in New England, who have been so accustomed to the Red Sox competing for championships and all the titles they've won in this century, of course, four of them, there is that real sense of shock that this close to spring training, you make a move that looks a little bit like a rebuild. Again, I understand why they're making the deal. It's a very defensible deal sort of in and of itself. But it's the context around it. It's the fact that you're the Boston Red Sox. You so rarely signal this. I mean, for them, locally in Boston, it's like it'd be expecting the Patriots to have a rebuild or the Bruins or the Celtics. This is not a city that is used to having to hear terms like process and multi-year rebuild, retool, however you want to call it. A trade like this is stunning. It's not the type of trade that a team like the Boston Red Sox typically ever makes. And I do think for a club that, candidly, it's one of the highest revenue teams in the game, they're going to still spend a bunch of money on payroll. But I think that they just looked at themselves right now, Jim, and I think they're discerning fans. If they looked at it the same way, they may have an issue with it today in the signal that it sends, but I really think that if you were to ask a bunch of Red Sox fans 2 days ago in a real honest moment, do you have a better team than the Yankees who just went out and signed Gerrit Cole and were better than you last year to begin with, it'd be really hard, unless you're a total Red Sox partisan there, to look at it and feel like the Red Sox had a better team than the Yankees as of 2 days ago.
John Morosi, you know, it's not my money, John. I got to admit, I'm having a tough time getting my head around it from where I'm sitting, only because they are the Red Sox, and they're a major market team, and this is a player they drafted. This is a player they developed. This is a player who became a superstar. This guy was too good to be true. And now he's gone, and they did not get one of the Dodgers' top prospects for him. But no, I agree with you. They're not the Yankees. What about from a Dodgers standpoint? John Morosi, my guest. John, for the Dodger fans, the Red Sox fans know exactly what they had in Betts. For Dodger fans who have not seen a lot of him aside from the 2018 World Series, what are they about to see now that he's a member of the Dodgers?
A superstar, a dynamic superstar on and off the field. I love the story, just to give you a sense of who he is as a person. Remember, he after one of the World Series games of 2018, he actually brought some food from the clubhouse spread at Fenway Park to give to the homeless people in Boston. And that was something he did not do. It would never have been publicized had it not been just a happenstance occurrence that a reporter saw it happening. So he is someone who is a truly genuine, down-to-earth superstar. He plays with tremendous amounts of energy and style, but he's someone who off the field is very humble and also very, very candid and forthright. He speaks, I think, very genuinely about the business aspect of the game and is very open. He has eyes open to it, I think, in that respect. So I've always been very impressed by Mookie, very candid, very honest. I think he's one of the most marketable stars in the game and just a really, really great person the Dodgers are getting. And I really think, Jim, this is going to be a key moment for the franchise, for the Dodgers, to see if they can find a way to sign him long-term, maybe even before the season starts. Mookie has talked a lot about wanting to get to free agency, and I certainly understand that. But for him, and maybe having a new perspective, walking into a new clubhouse, the Dodgers have a chance, Jim, because of how well they've managed their payroll. They've gotten a lot of their internal guys and they're paying them relatively small salaries in relative terms, of course, the likes of Walker Buehler and Cody Bellinger. So when you draft that well and develop that well, you have a really good payroll that allows you to go out there and spend on the big guys when you really want to. And right now, Jim, the Dodgers, in my opinion, they have got the payroll capacity to sign Betts in a way the Red Sox did not, because of some what I would describe as not very good decisions for the Red Sox from a payroll standpoint. So The Dodgers right now are in a perfect spot. They're the favorites of the National League, and they're about to see someone who I believe is one of the most dynamic players in the game and someone who's going to be, I believe, one of the most electrifying players ever to put on a Dodger uniform.
MLB insider John Morosi breaking it down. John, before you go, throughout the offseason there have been rumors about Nolan Arenado being dealt from Colorado. What is the latest on his future?
I think he's going to stay put, Jim. There was a really robust back and forth the last couple weeks about just how available he was. I do have the sense that Nolan Arenado is not entirely happy in Colorado based on his comments and certainly the way things have played out there. The key thing, Jim, to remember is this. They have only 2 years left before an opt-out is available to Nolan. And if he is as dissatisfied as it seems, you have to assume he's going to be opting out of that contract at that point in time following the 2021 season. And so if they can't find a way to get it done now, and it sounds like for now they're not going to be trading him, I think we're going to see a very robust market for Nolan Arenado at the trade deadline this year. So the best chance for him to potentially have a deal is probably the trade deadline in 2020.
Good note. Really quickly, what else are you keeping an eye on between now and the start of spring training?
The very unique fact, the Red Sox still have to hire a manager. Of course, they let go of Alex Cora as a part of the sign-stealing investigation by MLB. That, to me, is one of the more interesting dynamics here. The Red Sox still do not have a manager before spring training begins. And, of course, as we just mentioned, no Mookie Betts either.
So who's on that short list, John, quickly?
They could go internal. Ron Renneke is a possibility. They also interviewed Luis Urueta, a very, very popular young name there with the Arizona Diamondbacks. Mark Kotze as well, a great sort of hard-charging outfielder there for so many years with the Oakland Athletics. He is someone who's on the Red Sox list as well, so it's going to be a period of a great amount of turnover and turmoil there for the Red Sox as they begin camp at Fort Myers.
He is an MLB Network insider. He is an MLB.com columnist. He is a friend of the program. He is John Morosi. John, thank you very much. Expertly done, as always.
Jim, love catching up, my friend. Great job at the Super Bowl last week, as you always do, and I look forward to catching up again real soon.
Appreciate you saying that, John. Thanks so much. Great to have you back. John Morosi, breaking it down.